in New Orleans, birthplace of Louis Armstrong, Earl Father Hines, Bunk Johnson, Kid Ory, and John Nick. For many of you who have always wanted to hear what John sounded like on a tape, we have got a special microphone this time so that John can be clearly distinguished as our host here at the New Orleans Seminar, which we are addressing primarily the use of your UltraScan program. We've received many, many questions from you in the mail and from problem races in the mail, for which we thank you, which the problems you have addressed to us, we will now address to the group. Along with John Nick, we have Barry Birkin from New York, New Jersey, and we have Tom Brohammer, and Tom Brohammer model, Virginia Butler, who is our newest and first distaff member of the PERCO Charter Organization. Virginia has been playing one of the most difficult tracks in the nation, Portland, where it rains all the time and they have a winter meet, so her contributions will be gladly accepted. Glenn Smock, who is probably the first person to use UltraScan effectively, I mean, you know, on a daily basis, so it'll be interesting what Glenn has to contribute. Bob Purdy, Jim the Hat Bradshaw, Michael Pizzola. And we have a few bystanders from the seminar who are just as interested as I am to see what these gentlemen will say, because one thing I could always tell you about these gentlemen and this lady is that while they can predict horses, nobody can predict them or what they're going to say. Glenn, as our senior citizen and the first person to have used UltraScan successfully since its inception, what do you do about adjustments? The first question that it asks is, do you want to make adjustments now? How do you generally regard this question?
I just put no. I didn't have it on my tape on the PC3.
Well, that helps you. If he doesn't ask you the question, it certainly helps to answer it, and maybe that's part of the reason for success.
On my Microtin, it did.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, though, that because you were never asked the question, you didn't have to answer it,
you
automatically enter zero.
I use the automatic adjustments unless I'm using a sprint going into a route. Mm-hmm. Then I ask for the ultra with variant, and I put in just what that calls for automatically, and I use the raw ultra against the ultra with variant on the round horses. I've heard that isn't right, but it worked for me.
Well, whatever works is right, and I think that perhaps Glenn's success can be attributed to the fact that he does not try to second-guess the automatic adjustments. Now, that isn't always successful, but it in the long run is successful if you don't want to do all that extra work. You have some friends, though, I know, who do all that extra work.
Well, it picks a high percentage of winners at high prices that you don't get with the basic.
Okay, there's a key to not entering adjustments and not worrying about adjustments is the fact that you may not get as many winners, but you'll get much higher prices if you use the UltraScan and variant rating as opposed to making your own. And a lot of people will accept higher prices and fewer winners. If that's what you want, then proceed. But on the other side of that coin are our two precisionists, Bob Purdy and Tom Brohammer, most precise of whom is Tom Brohammer, who probably is the one who would view UltraScan with the maximum suspicion. What is your contribution to that thought, Tom?
Well, you put me on the spot here, because before yesterday, you ought to preface this by saying that I never saw so many cashiers scatter around to get more money than I did yesterday at New Orleans Fairgrounds Racetrack. And I was trying to play my basic horse program with some adjustments, and in a couple of cases we came up with the same selections, and they won. Another time, the basic horse program gave me a 2-to-1 shot where Scan lost and turned right around and gave me a loser when Scan had an 11-to-1 shot. Now, I'm probably going to go kicking and screaming into this program because I'm addicted to analyzing the races and, like you say, precise measurements. But I saw some things yesterday that I've already agreed with two of our people, Barry Birkin, who's always been chained to Scan in one form or another, to cut my own bank and to play only Scan for a while. It was incredible what I saw.
It does do some incredible things. And anytime a program is winning, the person who is actually dropping $100 bills from every pocket is Bob Purdy, because if there's a betting opportunity and $20 will do, he'll bet $200 just because it's there. What's your method of using UltraScan, Bob?
Mine is very simple. Like Tom, and using the basic program, I spend a lot of time and energy into making sure that we have precise adjustments and try to be as exacting as possible. So I viewed the Scan with a lot of suspicion as well, and I've just thrown in the towel. I take the Ultra Plus variant and bet it and let it go with that.
All right, that's you're dealing with a couple of fellows here who have devoted literally hours and hours in computer time and in their own time in developing precise daily track variant figures. So perhaps you have done the very same thing, and you say, well, why do you say in your manual to make an accurate pace profile, make an accurate variant, utilize it, and you'll get the better results? I think that Virginia Butler probably is the best example of why sometimes you absolutely have to do this. She sent me a number of races from Portland, Oregon. In case you people are not familiar with Portland, Oregon, it's in the Pacific Northwest. It rains most of the year, even in the summer. But in the winter, it's the most ridiculous place in the world to have a racetrack running. December, January, and February, March meet. Virginia Butler, by making a precise daily variant figure, what a point of daily variant in the racing form was worth at that track, turned a loser's track into a winner's track with some tremendous, tremendous mutuals. Jenny, why don't you just discuss your problems as they existed and how you solved them at Portland Meadows?
Well, when I first started working with Portland, I was having trouble with the pace line because I was trying to take it off of a fast track instead of good or sloppy. And I learned to take the best race, most recent best race, that the horse was closest to the pace. And so sometimes I'll go back three races, but I don't do any adjustments on the UltraScan. I just put it in just like it is. And it's just great.
Well, she gave me the same races, because I know that you're not all going to just want to take UltraScan and variant as it comes out of the computer. And here's what I found. 0.11 is the average figure point of racing form variant at this particular track. If you used the 0.11 for the daily variant, you could use a sloppy track, a good track, and almost no fast tracks. Up there, it's never fast. It's just some days it's slower than others because it's always raining. What I found out was that if you took the precise adjustments, that you would get the triple with three horses. If you didn't, if you use UltraScan and variant and just put zero adjustment, it took you four horses. What I found out is that you'll probably get one or two more winners for 25 races by making your own precise adjustments, but you will get higher mutuals overall by using UltraScan and variant.
You're talking about the open adjustment?
Right. When you enter your variant figures, your slight distance adjustments based on your total energy into open and third fraction adjustment, you might get a few more winners, but also you'll get lower price winners. The high price winners come from UltraScan and variant. Now, with the microphone pointed in his direction, I'd like to get John Nick's observation on how he uses UltraScan and which readout he finds the most predictive.
I'll wake him up for you, Howard.
Thank you. Well, what I do is I pick out the best pace line and the most recent pace line in a race, and I try to eliminate some of the races that Dr. Sautin has advised me not to play. For instance, if I have a maiden race with first-time starters, I just more or less eliminate this race. And there's enough races at Fairgrounds, 11 each day, that you can be very selective and play, take four or five good races. And when I go into the program with the ultra scan, I always seem to be more successful and get better price horses by playing ultra scan with a variant adjustment. And just recently I found that this holds up very, very good at Fairgrounds, because Fairgrounds is a sustained pace track, and it is proven, like Howard says in his manual, to pick a lot of long shots. Just recently I had an $80 winner, and the ultra scan with variant program picked the exactor 1, 2, 3. And several weeks ago, I played the trifecta for 3 days, playing the top three ultra scan, and I hit it three straight days, making a $1 trifecta box, costing $6, and you get one-third of the total trifecta payoff. But I would advise anyone that's using ultra scan to play ultra scan and variant. Now, sometimes when the track comes off, or someone asks me, if you have a horse going from 6 furlongs to a mile and a 16th, what do? Well, I still play ultra scan and variant, and I find it's been very successful up to this point.
Let me ask if anybody here is playing ultra scan and variant, who prefers to play ultra scan, the raw reading, as adjusted by the user. Barry, which one do you?
Most all the time, the final reading of the Ultra Plus variant, that's, I find, the most predictive one. But I always double-check it. At the end of every day when I'm through with the racing, I go back over the list of the winners, and I see how the winners ranked in each one of the categories.
Ah, good. I'm glad you brought that up. Good.
That's what impressed me yesterday, was the way you were approaching that, you and Michael both, in rating the different categories to find
right.
the balance, rather than someone that stuck out in one area and not in another.
Every once in a while, you get a horse who, his final rating of the Ultra Plus variant is very high. He might be a top selection there, but his other ratings were so far out of whack, out of sync, that I just toss that horse out, and I put does not fit model, and throw that horse, go to the next one down. Usually that's where you get some terrific long shots.
Michael?
Well, when I started, I also used to keep very precise numbers and variant figures and track-to-track adjustments. I used for a long time ultra raw, adjusted by my own variant figures. And what I noticed after doing a few hundred races was that Ultra Plus Variant alone, with the automatic adjustments in there, was picking them up just as frequently, and in fact were getting the higher price horses that I was missing using my own adjustments. So I didn't take me anything other than looking at my own data to switch over to that that approach. What I have been looking at lately is always checking when I have a high Ultra Plus Variant horse to make sure that his ultra raw score is going to be in the running in the race. I don't like, as Barry said, to have a horse which will rank last on ultra raw and first on Ultra Plus Variant, because what that tells me is that that horse is coming out of what will typically be a very slow race. This is why I believe Howard always emphasizes the importance, especially with ultra, and I know Jim Bradshaw is also very strong on this, on only rating those horses that really belong in the race, that will be competitive at today's class level, at today's distance. And that goes back to the old basic thing of picking a correct pace line, and also just putting in those horses that are going to be competitive. And as a double check for you, when you're looking at your top Ultra Plus Variant horses, be sure that they are going to be competitive on raw ultra.
Jim's absolutely mastered the problem that Michael was just addressing. If you enter a horse that does not belong in the race, if you put in a $5,000 claimer who ran reasonably well at $5,000 and you put him in today with $12,000 horses and he's slower than they are, you have to determine for yourself whether or not, despite the fact he ran a good race, his slowness was a product of his class or his level of competition, or whether it was had something to do with the conditions under which he ran. If you put in a wrong horse, it's going to make it look better. And Jim is probably the greatest one I've seen up to now of just striking these horses that don't belong out and thusly getting the best ultra-scan variant rating. Jim, why don't you address that problem?
I do. Just throw out the non-contenders and work the contenders of the race. The thing that I first ask myself when I'm doing the race or getting ready to do the contenders of the race, does this race need adjusting? After I see if the race needs an adjustment itself, I may enter yes and adjust the horses against their own pace line, or I may enter no, enter 0-0 and rank the horses on ultra scan plus variant. This is a very good indicator if you ask yourself if the race needs adjusting, which of the two factors to use. The two factors then are used in conjunction to see, as Barry and Mike both said, if the horse deserves the high ultra scan plus variant rating. The two areas that you can look at to determine this is the early pace velocity, the sustained pace velocity. And you can tell how the horse ran against his race compared to the other horses in the race.
We have a good example of this quandary on page 54 of your ultra scan manual. That's your first manual, not the one that accompanies this audio tape, which is called your UltraScan Answers Manual, in which there are several other examples. But the, on page 54 of the original UltraScan Manual, the first race at Hollywood, you have a situation involving Miss Binky with some other horses. And if you put this on UltraScan and variant, this is one race you would lose because Miss Binky is a faster horse off that second race back and will be adjusted down to the level of the slower horses against which she's running. But if you really truly look at the conditions and the situation of this race, you'll find out that these other horses did not run more slowly than Miss Binky because of the conditions of their track. They ran more slowly because they are of lower class, and therefore you would accept the raw ultra scan on Miss Binky. When you see more than 4 points difference between raw ultra scan and ultra scan invariant, take a very, very hard look at the horse that gains 4 or more points through ultra scan invariant and make sure that horse belongs there. I would use that as a rule of thumb, 4 points, if there are more 4 points difference. Now, if you find out that it has a higher ultra scan than it has ultra scan invariant, then you say that horse really has the class. That horse really belongs there. But if he has a much higher ultra scan invariant than ultra scan, make sure the horse belongs there. Make sure he did not earn that just because he's slower and doesn't belong with the other horse.
You develop a feel for that because yeah. I saw that yesterday with some of the folks that have been working with ultra scan for a while now, that they just automatically gravitated away from the ones that required the big adjustment and went to a second or third selection on paper.
In the case that turns up, Howard, you may want to take the horse and adjust them against their own pace line or put in the user adjustment to see if the horse really belongs in the race.
That's the next best way. And it takes a little more work, but it does not require any adjusting by you other than the ones that are fed to you by the computer. If you have a situation, which you'll find in this current UltraScan Answers manual, a horse from San Francisco, I can't remember the race right now, and I don't have that manual with me because I haven't written it yet, because we're writing that manual as a result of your questions, but I have parts of it done. There is a situation in the race in San Francisco in which a 1/16 horse, $5,000 level, runs a 1/16 at 143. Now he's going into a race where none of the other horses at 12,005 have ever run it any faster than 145. You say to yourself, why put this horse into the computer? If I put it in the computer, he's going to have the highest, because he's by far the fastest. So what I did with that race, not to eliminate the horse, because I know that most of you are not going to eliminate a horse that runs 143 against 145 horses. It's just against the nature of the horse player to throw out the fastest horse. So to find out whether this horse belongs with those other horses, you merely say yes when it asks you want to make adjustments now. And you adjust the horse by its pace line, not by what it did, not by its beaten lengths. In this case, the horse went wire to wire, so the pace line was its time. When you say yes, you then enter the adjustments the computer gives you into the open and third fraction adjustment. And this will then, and use UltraScan invariant, because you've now adjusted all of them by their own pace line. Had you only adjusted one of them by its own pace line, don't use UltraScan invariant. If you're going to do it with UltraScan invariant adjusted, all must be adjusted by their own pace line. Try that. But I think what Tom and Bob say is to do 20 races and find out which readout is the most predictive at your track.
Yeah, I'm about to tackle this full scale. That's what I promised. Barry grabbed me by the throat last night and said, how can you ignore all of this? I said, I can't, not after yesterday afternoon. That's
what I said. What I found back in up in New York, looking at Aqueduct and some races from the fall in Belmont, and also at Meadowlands, I found that a good indication was looking at the horses whose rankings in the Ultra Raw and the Ultra Plus Variant were the highest. And you could almost play those two horses blindly. Now, in that case, a horse which ranked, let's say, eighth in the field on Ultra Raw and first in Ultra Plus Variant would not be bet over a horse that would rank, let us say, second in Ultra Raw and third in Ultra Plus Variant. I found a combination of that, again, at the tracks that I play, was very effective. The other thing that I noticed is that when a horse had a point or more edge, it was often a very, very dangerous horse. And often horses like that do not get a very big variance adjustment. Beware of those horses. Just keep your eye on them. Often they will be very short price favorites and usually the class of the race. That's because, very simply, it's coming out of a race with very fast fractions. That's why its adjustment will sometimes even be a negative adjustment. Be very, very careful where you have that big a gap in an Ultra Raw, because very often that horse will just blow the field away. I would say definitely always include it in any exotic bet you might make and take a good hard look at whether you want to make a win bet on that as well.
Barry Birkin, along with every other astute handicapper, has always questioned the value of average purse value as a determining factor in class. Now we all, believe me, we all recognize the fallibility of average purse value because of the, if you have a couple of places in a show and only one win or something might be inflated. We understand all that, but we also understand that it's better than whatever is second best, and Barry did some observations on this and came up with some pretty amazing figures, not only on his own New York, New Jersey circuit, but right here in Louisiana. Barry?
Well, I did find that average purse value is a lot more predictive than what I thought. First thing I do now when I go through a race, I toss out the obvious non-contenders, and then I rank the average purse value of every single horse that might be a possibility, a possible contender. And the ones with very low figures, I may just enter them into the computer to see what the figures are, but you can't toss out a horse whose figures are very low is probably a very poor bet. But the main way that I use average purse value, though, is in particular for dealing with either ties or near ties. which in the scan manual, I have an example that I had in there, the triple that I blew at the Meadowlands, where I had two horses that was, I think it was just 0.02 difference between them. So I went with the one which just had the 0.02 higher. And in that particular case, if I did rank the average purse value, which Howard later on suggested to me, then I would have had the $1,000 triple.
Jenny, up at Portland Meadows, where you were playing this last few months, they run for $1,000 purses, $2,000 purses, my $7,000 handicap purse is the big race of the year. Does average purse value still give you some value at these low-class tracks?
Yes, it does, Howard. I worked with that last week, and out of the 10 races that I worked with, it, 7 of them were highest in purse value. And a lot of the horses at Portland run in California tracks, so, and Longacres. And
really have some fair, I saw some fairgrounds tracks in California I didn't even know we had were going for stakes in races in Portland. But the idea is that don't think that average purse value, if it's $20 higher at 1,000, that's just like being $200 at 10,000. So there is a distinction. Fairmont Park, Portland Meadows, your cheaper tracks, it's just as important there as it is at Santa Anita and Aqueduct. Then it's not the horse with the highest average purse value we're talking about. We're talking about horses that have been running for purses equivalent to or higher than today's purse. That's the only reason we're using average purse value.
One thing that was a surprise to me when I started to figure for at the fairgrounds here was, now I always did question, I knew this a statistic that the bulk of the winners were, I think, among the top 4 average purse value horses. And over here, when I started to figure in fairgrounds, which I assume was a cheaper track, I didn't think it was that important. I thought current form was more important. But actually, the bulk of the winners were among the top 2 or 3 average purse value.
John, you've always liked to put in some type of a class figure. How do you use average purse value?
Well, Howard, Barry did some workouts for me recently on the fairgrounds. In fact, he called me last week, and he mentioned that he found that the APV was really picking a lot of winners at the fairgrounds, and he asked me if I was using it. Well, what I've been doing recently is taking my 5 or 6 contenders and taking my little hand calculator and figuring the APV, and if one of, or two of my horses come up on top, this gives me a much stronger play when I see the APV is high. And if I, and I know sometimes, and you had told me recently, you have to watch APV because it can be inflated if you have a horse that has maybe one place and one show.
What do you do then, John?
What I do is I just add a win in, put a win in, and reduce the APV, because then this way it'll give me a truer picture than an... Because an inflated APV can make the horse stand out, and you'll have a bad play. So what I have been doing is just using it discriminately and watching what the APV was on the plays, and to see that they're not overly inflated, and use this as a basis, especially if I have several contenders in the race.
At the slower tracks now, we find that you don't have to make any adjustment for sprinters going into routes, because they adjust themselves. And even at the faster tracks, sometimes if you make a correction, you're going to lose the sprinter that goes into a route paying the huge price. But generally speaking, at the faster tracks, the UltraScan and Variant gives the sprinter just a little too much edge. Jimmy, how do you compensate for that?
I usually look at the sprinter and see if he belongs in the race. If he's going into a route today and his inflation on UltraScan and Variant is too much, I deduct maybe 0.50 from this, and it seems to get him there. Now, I wouldn't do this if his UltraScan raw was high and matched it. I would definitely see a sprinter that was capable of running in this route today.
What you're looking for here really is this. You enter the sprinter as a sprint from your sprint time. You enter the routers, and you look at their raw UltraScan. but quite simply, and you look what the difference is in the raw of the sprinter and the raw of the rocker. And generally speaking, if that is over, that exceeds the energy difference. If you're making an energy profile of your track, if it exceeds it, then you deduct the per half furlong capacity at your track. At our tracks out there, the per half furlong difference is about 0.45. I think it, maybe in the Midwest, some of the tracks at Sportsman's, I think it's 0.36. I think it's also 0.45 at Belmont. But you can find out what it is at your track. In fact, it's in the yellow manual. Those figures on page 64 and 5, I think, in the yellow manual are still pertinent as to the value of a half furlong at distance change. What some of us do is merely deduct the per half furlong value from ultrascan invariant from the sprinter. If it's 0.45, we don't even put it in the computer, we just do it by hand. And if he still survives that much of a deduction, then the sprinter has the capacity, at least velocity-wise, to route. But remember, nobody can predict whether a sprinter is going to win a route by mathematics or figures. That is dependent upon the horse's ability to do it on that given day.
Howard, test my understanding on this. The ultrascan raw, when you have a sprinter in a race with routers, is generally higher, I mean universally higher, isn't it?
Surely.
My question is going to be for Barry then, and Michael, because they tend to rank order a number of factors, including ultrascan raw and ultrascan variant. How do you deal with that in your rankings? Because if you have three sprinters in with four routers, the sprinters are going to rank 1, 2, 3 in ultrascan raw.
That's something which, until recently, I've been wrestling with and I'm still experimenting with. I don't think for all tracks throughout the country that there's a universal constant for that. And I think really the rule of thumb for most people is that they have to experiment and try and see what's working at their track currently. In the beginning, when I started working with the ultrascan, that's exactly what I did. When there was sprinters, a mixed bag of sprinters in a route race, I ran the race through on paper first to understand this. I first entered all the figures in raw, then I tried equating all of them and putting a penalty on. And then I just saw which, over the course of so many races, was giving the better results. Currently, what I'm doing is I'm putting that penalty on. If the sprinter's going into a route, I put a penalty, here at Fairgrounds, where I didn't know what the precise measurement was. I was using 0.35 per half furlong. Then I take one half of that and put that on also for the last fraction adjustment.
Okay, you put, let me make sure I'm aware of that. You put part of it on the open adjustment?
I would put the full thing on for the open adjustment.
The full amount.
And then I would take one half of that and I put that onto the last fraction to give it an extra penalty. And if a sprinter, that usually knocks him out. But if a sprinter can survive that, especially here at Fairgrounds, then you've got a good horse.
Page 116 of your ultrascan manual, it shows you how to do that. This is not as readily available to those of you who are using the smaller handheld computers, the PC4 especially, but on your real large computers, you have assorted energy total of horses on your readout. So you look at on page 116 now, the raw total energy of the horse running a 45.8, 70.4, 6 furlongs, 45.8, 110 and 2 in fifths, has a total energy of 55.95. The horse that runs a route in the last one from the bottom, next to the bottom, has 54.38. That's running it in 111.2, 102.6 for mile 16. The difference there is 1.6 something. So you divide the number of furlongs, the difference between 6 furlongs and 8.5 furlongs, 2.5 furlongs, you divide that into the difference, and that's till you find out what the per furlong difference is, then you take that in half, and that would be the adjustment that I would deduct from the sprinter if I were going to use ultrascan and variant as my readout. If I were going to use ultrascan as my readout, I'd adjust the total energy as it stands and as it is instructed in that section of the manual.
But I will say what I feel most happy with is if I enter the sprinter's figures in raw, as is, unadjusted, and it can't compete, then I'm happy as can be. Then I can just toss him.
Yeah, you throw it out.
Right.
The most success you're going to have with this program is if you throw out horses, but you know, don't throw out any winners, and that's the problem. And anybody, Bob, what? Give us some insight into throwing some of these horses out mercilessly as you do, and still come up with the winner.
Well, sometimes I throw out the winner. We'll all do that on occasion. Sometimes because we're in a hurry, we don't have enough time, or what have you, but if you have enough time to handicap your horses and you go through, if you're playing a track that you're familiar with, you're not visiting some town, you know what the capabilities of most of the horses you see running are. You know where they belong in class, and it's easy for horse players like myself and Tom and the rest in this room who consistently play the same track all the time to identify these horses. And when they come into a race that we know where they don't belong in, we just throw them out, and that saves a lot of time. If we have shippers, we have to learn how to play with shippers, and we do some...
Amazing thing about you, I don't get a chance to see you very often at California tracks, because when I'm home, I'm busy answering mail and things, writing manuals. But when I go on seminars with you to strange tracks, you don't seem to be any less courageous about betting and any less successful in winning. Do you sometimes think that all that knowledge that you have about your own tracks is a dangerous thing? Because at Santa Anita, they don't have to send out for $100 bills to cash your tickets.
You got more money there.
Huh?
You got more money in the cage there.
Gee, thanks, Glenn.
That's because they have more money in their cage. Not that at Belmont. At Belmont, they had to ship out for money.
Yeah, well, they had to do it once at Santa Anita, too. I mean, about $20,000 in two races. They did have to go looking after that. But in any case, I just have confidence in looking at these horses. And if I make a mistake and I get beat, I guess I just have a lot of self-confidence. Frohammer has built that into me and rubbed off, I guess, to just go get it next time. So I don't care about playing in a strange track and worrying about not knowing the horses. I can come into a town like New Orleans or New York and do okay. You know, mainly because I have no fear. These horses don't fear me.
I'd like to add something to that, and that is you said knowing your own horses is at a detriment, or your own racetrack is at a detriment, and I think, to me it is, because I tend to get shorter prices at home. Of course, Santa Anita runs an awful lot of favorites anyway. Right now, they're clicking at about 40% at the moment, but when I go out of town, yesterday being a good example, I caught prices yesterday that I never catch at home. So I think there is a drawback to knowing that, rather than approaching this purely in an objective mode, because the nice thing about UltraScan, and I'm lining up in the gang here, and that is most of our people, by the time they get to this manual, are pretty proficient at picking pace lines. And that's the key to making any of these things work. And UltraScan, if you can pick the pace line, and I think most of our people can at this stage of the game, has to be the quickest program I've ever seen. And I sat there yesterday and handicapped about three races because I was rushed for time in the morning. In the meantime, Barry and Michael, they had handicapped the whole card with UltraScan. And you can afford then, if it's that much quicker, to handle some of the contenders that I would just automatically throw out down in Southern California. I might have thrown out yesterday because I threw out... In one of the races I did, I threw out a winner that Barry caught for $32.
One thing about making pace line selections with UltraScan, it is so fast, you can run three or four pace lines through if you're a little bit in doubt of which one to use, and you're going to find that three of them, if you use any one of those three, you might as well not do the horse at all. So if you're going to do the fourth one, you've got to say, is this fourth one representative of what it will do today? But you can do those pace lines so fast, you'll almost always get the right one if you take a little time.
I'm sorry, the thing that really appeals to me also is that I go to Las Vegas quite often, and trying to handle a number of racetracks across the country in Las Vegas, in addition to your own, because that's where I key most of my money into, is Santa Anita and Hollywood Park, I just can't get it done. And with UltraScan, the one thing, like I said, the one thing that appealed to me was that I'd be able to cover a lot of these racetracks and come up with legitimate numbers that don't require a lot of massaging like I do in Los Angeles. Because I keep my own variant, and I keep it with a variant program, and I adjust them, and I do all this work in Santa Anita, and yet I come out of town and catch bigger prices and literally make more money with a smaller investment. So.
Glenn, in order to play the way you do with UltraScan and variant and pick as many winners at high price you do, you must be throwing out a lot of non-contenders. How do you do it? What's your key? What do you do?
Well, I'm leaving in some horses that I used to throw out in basic, you know, like come in from Calini and come in from Long Acres. And Bob has been too, because we kind of been going to track together. And with the Ultra here, we've caught some awful big prices with the Calini horses and that. But when that Ultra says that they're on top, they come in.
This is Ultra and Variant?
Right, right. And that's a way cheaper track.
I found the UltraScan program to be a confidence builder as far as the pace lines go, because you run the last race, and if you just get a little feeling that did I do the right thing, and run the next one, and the numbers come up almost the same, and they just don't look like the same pace line. But the raw Ultra or Ultra Plus variant come up very similar on races that you look at, and they just look totally different. And it's a confidence builder. You can make mistakes on pace lines with UltraScan.
I pick more pace lines once in a while, you know, or like maybe two in a race, like he says, on the horses that I leave in. And it seems to work real good.
Yeah, back to this thing of weeding out contenders, I don't think the game has changed over what we did with the basic program. And in fact, as you use this program, you begin to recognize whether or not a horse is going to measure up anyway. A horse with dead form is a horse with dead form. You're going to eliminate them in your basic program or scan. And after you've run just a few races with this, you begin to look at those horses and see whether or not the pace lines are going to measure up in the first place. And if they're not going to measure up in the first place, they're an eliminator.
But one thing I'd want to caution about is that if you're playing exotic races, you have to start looking at what the form for place and show horses at your track is also, because you can eliminate, and a lot of horses keep the winner in, but you might close off the place a show horse.
If we're going to play an exotic bet, we leave more horses in.
Yeah. Jim Bradshaw has it down to a science. He just raced the three horses that are going to finish 1, 2, 3.
By looking at the form. I find that to keep the waters as unmuddied as possible, and it's very important that you get a sense that the horse is in form and ready to run, and also that he's going to be competitive at the level at which he's running today. Very often, people will send me sample races, and they'll point to horses with very low average purse values. Very often in those races, those horses, in my opinion, should never have been rated. If you have a horse, for example, in a $10,000 claiming race that hasn't been able to run very successfully against $6,000 or $7,000 horses, well, I don't even rate a horse like that, because I don't sense that horse is going to be competitive. Now, there's another caution to be used. You may get a low average purse value horse that has just won his last race. He's at the top of his game and is now stepping up in class. That may be a very dangerous horse, especially if his Ultra Raw and his Ultra Plus variant are in good shape. But for me, the greatest advantage of UltraScan is to get me out of overanalyzing a race. Very often I will second guess myself so much and spend so much time on analysis, and the ease and the simplicity of analyzing the readouts in UltraScan is just makes handicapping so much more pleasure. The higher mutuals make it even more pleasure.
Now, please turn the tape over and we'll continue.